Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 31, Episode 3 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 16th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jaxation Without Representation. That is courtesy of Salt Davies, at Salt the Kid, and also courtesy of Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, you can't satisfy their needs. Zeitgeist ain't coming back to hear me do it. Miles Gray, what I say goes. Zeitgeist ain't in control.
Thank you
harmony.
So much with the backing vocals.
By me, Jack O'Brien.
I got you, King.
Jack O'Brien. That was a self-made AKA today. I've been going through, and I just was feeling some Usher. So thank you to me. I will pat myself on the back. Thank you, at Miles.
You had a little like JT thing going there, a little bit.
Yeah, you know the falsetto singing.
Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat just by one of the greats. She is one of the funniest performers at UCB and just a funny comedian.
One of the great Texans
ever. She is Lacey Mosley. What's up?
Hey, Lacey. What's up?
Hi.
What's up?
It's Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Paul Gonzalez.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Can you elaborate?
Just what I go by. Just what I go by sometimes.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
That's what I go by. Y'all know
so
I
should
like
I change
scams.
Your pronouns then?
Oh, no.
Okay. Just making sure.
I just like scams.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Oh, right. Oh, okay. That's why, yeah, when we had lunch, you hit me with that Venmo from that Venmo account. I was like,
the fuck
is Paul Rodriguez? You're like, yeah, charge Paul.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Hey, do what you got to do.
Listen.
Hey, social security number. You know. What's something from your search history, Lacey, that is revealing about who you are or not? Just something from your search history.
So something from my search history, I just looked this up, is a Home Depot mirror glass.
Okay.
So recently Solange had took some real fire selfies with some glass.
Uh-huh.
So it was like she held the glass up and then she had her phone. And so it was taking a picture of like her face and the reflection behind her was like this beautiful like foliage and shit.
Oh,
and
yeah, then, yeah. I saw that shit. Right.
Then she had some like artsy ass table set up and shit in front. And mm-hmm. it was because then you could get two selfies in one.
Right.
Kind of like two environments. It was real fly. I was like, bitch, I got to go to Home Depot and get some glass. The game is being stepped up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I gotta make sure I'm a part of it.
Wait, so why Home Depot? You're just like, I think that's where I can get some mirrored glass.
I mean, you don't want the glass. Like, Solange's glass was like artsy and smooth on the sides. I mean, you don't want like a handheld mirror. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it right.
I'm having a hard time envisioning this.
Oh, you are? Hold on. I got a screenshot.
Like that.
Ooh.
Ain't that fire? Oh, she doing it everywhere.
Yeah,
oh, it's lit.
Cool.
I didn't even see the one with the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was just like handheld.
Lacey, you got your Google search history about to be a boat.
Oh, my God.
How do I get a
Let's
boat?
Go.
How do I go to Italy?
Listen, because I'm always trying to, you know, people like to judge people who take selfies. Like, oh, people take selfies are lonely and all that. No, sometimes people just...
Are narcissists.
Okay, listen. It's the difference between being a narcissist and being your favorite thing to think about.
That's right. Sometimes being a narcissist and falling in love with your reflection.
With yourself. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you are just a great photographer whose favorite subject is yourself. There you go.
If you see yourself in a puddle or a shallow pool and you dive in.
Yeah, try and catch it.
Follow Lacey on Instagram. She's a great follow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The stories are content.
Mm.
Your stories could be a show. If anybody's out there, you know, developing content. A show, watch Lacey's stories.
For real.
Give us a show.
Lacey, what's something that's overrated?
Ooh, okay. Makeup. And this is weird because y'all know I love makeup. I was
you were just beating
just,
your face.
I was. I put on makeup to be on the radio. I sound better this way, don't I?
Honey,
y'all
this is a
agree.
Podcast.
Tweet
it's
me. Tell
radio.
Me I sound better. I know I do with the makeup on. But just because lately everybody's coming out with a palette. J-Lo got a palette. Kim K got 35 palettes. And I'm like, to the little girls out there listening to the Daily Zeitgeist.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We got lots
for
of
your nine-year-old listen, girls out there about to go into fourth grade.
There is makeup that will change your life. And no, it is not found at CVS. I will say that there is some stuff that can really glow you up and get you to that next level. Mm-hmm. However, every cream stick and contour stick ain't about to make you look all fleek. And half y'all don't know how to use that shit anyway, so y'all just be out here looking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is send away to Lacey Mosley's makeup tips.
The makeup
with
you're
social
looking.
Security
cash
number.
Cash at me your social security number, and I'm going to get y'all some makeup that work for y'all shade.
That's what you tell these young women. The makeup you were looking for cannot be found at CVS, but between the front and back pages of Iyanla Van Zandt's book, Tapping the Power Within. that's where you were going. I don't know why I thought you were about to talk about Iyanla. Save my life.
Absolutely not. Iyanla is crazy as fuck.
If it was anybody else, I would have expected there to be like, and that makeup is a better opinion of yourself. But it being you, I knew you were just going to be like, but it's really expensive. Yeah. So
it's NARS.
No, absolutely
y'all can't
not.
Fuck with NARS.
Y'all beat y'all's faces if y'all want to. I'm just saying, you don't have to buy everything out there. But I actually really look up to Iyanla because when I get old, I'm going to just use my old black lady cred to say crazy shit too, because Iyanla ain't said nothing wise or deep to nobody.
What was it? What was the clip I saw on this on Joel McHale's show where she was making somebody rap their lyrics to pictures of Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks?
That was Hazel E.
Oh, it's Hazel E. Right? She's like, "Tell me you're proud of these lyrics and spit them at Rosa Parks."
Old ass picture of Rosa Parks.
Get money, clap my butt, clap. Yeah,
butt, and then Rosa just looking at her like,
"Now say it to Harriet Tubman, sister."
Like, I'm free to slay.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. But, you know, for good gesture, I'm going to get some implants. I'm going to get some larger titties. Because you got to, when you're an old black lady, you got to have big titties for people to cry
on. To
like, right. Yeah. Come here, child.
Yeah. That's it.
And child. Calling you child. Yeah. Ooh, I'm like, well, you are now my grandmother.
And no D, just child.
Oh, baby, you a hot mess. Ooh, child.
Also, for people who don't know when I said beat your face, I'm not talking about punching somebody in the face, because I had this conversation with a person who did not understand the vernacular. That means to put makeup on, you know, get your beat on. You know, if you watch drag queens, you know what that is, but I'm not saying to assault your face.
Oh, no.
Put your beat on.
No, I appreciated it. A good beat means you really beating that brush
real hard.
Beat that face.
So, that's got to let people know. Each one teach one.
Lacey, what is something that's underrated?
Ooh, the show Good Girls on NBC.
Okay.
They're not sponsoring the show. I just love this show. Have you heard of this show?
Maybe you should think about
Good
Girls on
NBC. I'm trying to Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I have heard of this. Yeah. They're bank robbers.
Yeah. It's basically the plot of Mad Money and the cast of Mad Money, but recast for TV.
The cast of Mad Money.
Mad Money was this Diane Keaton movie with Queen Latifah. And it's like,
Right.
It's like all the ladies have to rob a bank, which, for one, I am annoyed that lady bank robber movies always got to be motivated by love and some little kid being sick and shit. Like, why can't bitches just rob banks? Because they want bags.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just want the bag.
In my mind, I was like, why can't they just be thugs? It's like, fuck that. I'm gonna...
Thugs, they want the bag. No, every movie you see where a woman's robbing a bank, she first has to have, like, her life fall apart. Her kid got to be crippled. Like, why can't she just want money like men?
Yeah. She's like, wait, a Birkin bag costs what?
Yeah, you never see men in movies like, oh man,
yeah,
I got to take care of my grandma. Oh, that's not how Ocean's 11 starts. Like, they just robbing shit.
Right, they're just fucking dudes.
Yeah. Wants to get his wife back.
But it's a cute TV show. You can actually binge it on Hulu. And I just don't want it to get canceled because it's very exciting.
Now, do you like it because you have an affinity with the scam life? You
know I do.
What
I mean?
Like, that's it's sort of.
I've gotten tips and tricks from that show for real. Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised how much stuff you can still get away with if you just act confidently.
But the show has not been canceled?
No. I'm pretty sure it got renewed, but I just want to make sure it stays on the air. Y'all tune in.
Okay.
All right.
Because
it's good. Nobody's talking about it.
Is the pilot good?
Pilot was good.
The pilot is even good?
It's cute. Okay. Because it's very cute.
I forget who it was. I think it was Danny who came on who said to watch Schitt's Creek with Eugene Levy and stuff.
No, watch Schitt's Creek. I need y'all to start watching stuff on Pop. I absolutely watched Schitt's Creek.
I did. No,
especially
I started
January 2019.
Why? What's going on?
I can't say.
Uh-oh, wait, what?
I can't talk about it, but y'all watch that channel.
But to say, yes, I want to watch Schitt's Creek, but the pilot was losing me a little bit, but I'm going to endure it. I'm going to get through it because
I love Canada. Shout out to Canada.
I'm looking at Mad Money, the movie, because Mad Money, to me, is that Jim Cramer show where he's like, bye.
It's inspired by that.
Yeah. So apparently there was a movie that he stole his show's name from, and the cover is just the most dated 2008 thing because it's got Queen Latifah and Katie Holmes, and they're like, holding money, and I just can't buy Katie Holmes as like this person who's like, I don't know.
She'll just always be an affected teen. This is the role of her life.
Right.
This was way better than Dawson. She was random in this movie. It was like, KT, what are you doing here? Oh, yes, yeah, very dated.
I cannot buy that.
Yeah.
It looks like she's confused by holding money. Right. She's like, what is this?
She's got a handful of cash, and she's like, money?
For all we know, that was a steal from her real life. She was trying to leave Tom Cruise. She was like, do I have enough yet?
So Good Girls on NBC and Pop TV, is that the name of the channel?
January 2019.
Yeah, Pop TV.
Oh, this is starting to make sense because I was watching her stories and she was alluding to certain things. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Miles, you were saying Schitt's Creek, you checked it out and the pilot wasn't good.
Pilot was slow, but I love
comedy pilots.
Yeah, comedy pilots are never
tough.
Yeah, they're tough. That's why I asked if it's lit from the pilot.
It's a dramedy.
And that is a gas joke for all my water heater people out there. It's lit from the pilot. Okay.
Oh, yes. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Water
very good.
People. Come on, go, Ellen.
Also, anyone in the Zeit Gang, if you're a plumber, please contact me because I'm trying to attach a thing under my sink to put an ice maker in my new refrigerator that I have to go leave to get pretty soon. Thank you.
Oh, you are going to get so much feedback from dudes who are like,
hey, the thing you got to understand, man.
Just dudes turn the water main off. Legs out and being like, ow, the thing you got to.
Honestly, I'll take that because just wait till I come in here soaking wet tomorrow from trying to put them. Anyway.
Lacey, what is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
You can't catch up on sleep.
I know, it sucks.
And technically, I guess if you want to be this type of human being, apparently, I was looking, researching this further, because when I was in college, it was just like a hard fact. Like, you just couldn't catch up on sleep. But apparently, if you like add in a couple hours, extra hours each night over the course of several nights, but I was like, that's not what people want. Yeah. Like, if I stay up, I stayed up maybe like last week until like 4 a.m, and now my sleep pattern's been thrown for like a week.
Just from that one night?
Yes, because then I like slept in the next morning and then I stayed up because I had a bunch of shows and shit all night.
Wow.
And so it just continued because I ended up having so many shows at night until now. The past 2 days I've been like meditating. I go to sleep with like the sounds of rain playing on YouTube all night long.
I used to go to sleep with a sound machine. In college, because I was so stressed, I could not sleep, and I had to get like this NASA approved one that had like certain brainwave frequencies
NASA.
To like get.
Yeah, oh, it was, you like, fancy? How much money did you have in college? I have no money to give NASA.
Well, let me tell you, I used to work at the Coach store at the mall, and what I did was I switched out. I did a trade for like some Brookstone gift certificates. I'm like, look, I'm gonna give you my employee discount for this Ergo bag because everybody wants to. Yeah, it's a scam. You know what I mean? So you make money how you gotta get.
Listen, I appreciate it.
The podcaster Bill Simmons, sports guy, used to be at ESPN. Now he's the head of the Ringer. He has this one of his more problematic theories is he was like, tell you what, you become 20% crazier if you're a woman when every kid you have, you become 20% crazier.
So what, if you have six, you're beyond 100%
right,
more
yeah,
crazy?
Apparently.
The fuck
but
does that mean?
I really think that it's... I notice it happening to me. I think it's like you build up a sleep debt and you just never recover from the sleep debt when you have a kid because you just like don't sleep for like 6 months.
Right.
And then your mind doesn't work as well. And then you can't make that sleep debt up ever again. So
ever
just,
again? Really? That
I don't know.
Seems weird.
Well, also like the older you get, the less sleep you need. But I think, I don't know, your body doesn't sleep as well.
My mom always said that. She's like, when you have a kid, you just don't sleep. You don't sleep as well because you worried about
them. Right, exactly.
Like, my mom used to, mom's crazy as fuck. I love her. She's a queen. But she used to, like, let me go out places. And I lived in the suburbs, so the only place to really go out was, like, the mall. Like, every parent would just drop their kids off at the mall. And my
mom, up at 9:30.
Right?
Yeah.
And my mom would never let me do it. But one time I really convinced her to let me go to the mall. And then she dropped me off at the mall, and she called me 45 minutes later, and she was like, God told me you need to come home.
Oh, shit.
Like, what?
I had that with my dad, too. He would just, like, get these feelings and be like, no, you can't stay out tonight. And just be like, what? And then he was usually right. It was really weird.
He predicted 9/11.
Right. Right? Yeah, yeah. No, it was 9/11, yeah. No, but I also think that it's, like, because, God damn it, sorry. I think it's also because.
Is that your dad again?
Yeah. He's like,
Jack,
get out of there.
You're
going
to stop recording the show.
Go, go, go.
Who's on the side, guys, today? Lacey?
Lacey,
oh, no.
No, 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 no.
together.
No, but I was saying about the Simmons thing is I feel like he's the type of guy who would like let his wife do all the like staying up
right,
at
exactly.
night and parenting. Oh, yeah. So he's like, she's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Right, exactly. They're like, Bill, you going home? Dude, I don't know. My fucking wife, dude. I'm telling you, she's getting 20% more crazy with every kid. I'm going to go back. She's going to be like, why aren't you home? Take right. care of these kids. I'm like, you're the right. fucking mom.
You haven't right. been home yeah. in 3 days.
I'm the fucking dad.
Right.
Let's play house. Just a Nate Dogg, sorry.
Yeah, a little Nate Dogg. I haven't heard that song.
You be the mommy and I'll be the daddy.
A child. All right, we're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now, and we wanted to open up with a little primary watch.
Primary watch.
Yeah, primaries.
Oh,
some yeah. primaries happened last night.
Yeah. And looks like, man, Pennsylvania is turning a different shade of red. Because I'm pretty sure four women who are backed by the Democratic Socialists of America won their state legislature primaries in Pennsylvania. Mm. Some were uncontested, and some against like traditional kind of centrist Dems. But Sarah Innamorato and Summer Lee, they brought the progressive ideals fucking hard. Summer Lee, especially, she was campaigning on things like ending cash bail, $15 an hour minimum wage, creating a millionaire's tax, moratorium on prison building, 100% renewable energy, universal free pre-kindergarten, childcare, abortion rights, a free college. I mean, yes, this woman won on this platform. Not to mention, if Lee wins in the general election, she could be the first black woman elected to the state legislature from southwestern PA. So, yeah. Women and progressives had a lot of wins. Not to mention in Nebraska, Kara Eastman, who I think was a former or local nonprofit president, she beat former U.S. Congressman Brad Ashford. And, you know, Eastman campaigned on the same sort of not total socialist kind of agenda, but she was campaigning on Medicare for All, you know, decriminalizing marijuana, ending Citizens United. And she narrowly beat Brad Ashford, who was like, you know, an establishment guy, you know, like Obama, like he's, you know, he's chilling with Obama in the past. He's kind of the safe choice. So, again, it looks like there's a lot of energy for going left of center. So take note, DCCC, because that's where the energy is.
Right.
And yeah, and in Pennsylvania, a couple of things, too, is that the Democratic turnout was pretty big. They cast 100,000 more votes than Republicans did. And I know last week we were talking about, well, what's going on with the blue wave or whatever. Well, you know, let's not get too excited yet, but let's just take everything in stride because, I mean, also to mention in Pennsylvania, there were a couple primaries that were just all Democratic candidates, so that could also add to it. But nonetheless, good turnout. And also, in Pennsylvania, they still have no female members in Congress at all. So
right.
let's try and get this changed.
I think it's guaranteed that there will be at least one. I think there is at least one race in Pennsylvania that where it's women going against each other. So we'll no longer be all male.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a situation where going to the base, like the Republicans went to the base with Trump and it, you know, went against everything, all conventional wisdom that you hear from people who are experts in electoral politics. You have to go centrist. You have to like do the triangulation Clintonian thing.
Right.
And then when they went to the base, they suddenly just bucked all predictions and, you know, Trump did incredibly well. And I think you're going to see the same thing if the Democrats are willing to, you know, buck conventional wisdom and actually, you know, get behind candidates who are willing to step up and support things that people are actually, you know, the people, the masses are actually excited about.
Yeah, also in Pennsylvania, Republican Lou Barletta, he narrowly won his primary race, despite spending nearly eight times more than his more moderate opponent. He even had like the explicit endorsement of Trump. He underperformed pretty severely. And a lot of the GOP sort of strategists are kind of like, ooh, we don't know if we want this guy to go up against Bob Casey in November, because Lou Barletta is like of just a problematic, obnoxious xenophobe who, like, you know, when he was mayor of a town was like, I'm gonna file criminal charges if you hire illegal aliens, like English is the official language of this town. Like, he's just kind of on that sort of nationalistic, you know, anti-immigrant stance. So, yeah, that's another thing to check out in Pennsylvania, because now they may have a little bit of a tough time against Bob Casey, but we'll see.
So that Republican going to the base, you know, using xenophobia, that has not been working as well in these primaries.
Not as much. And the guy he was running against, I mean, he was pretty central in terms of, like, you know, his landing page wasn't like him wrapped up in American flags, like putting immigrants on a bus or anything.
Right, right.
It was just kind of like, you know, he's about openness, transparency, accountability at all levels of government. So it seems like he's a perfect sort of balance to what this other guy was running for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this guy, Christiana, he only had like, I think 250,000. And this Barletta campaign, they spent close to 2 million. So even with the money, you barely won.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back. And we're back. And the other kind of story of the moment when it comes to politics is that we're going to have to put that Trump Nobel Peace Prize just on hold momentarily. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but there just is. It's looking like the North Korea talks might be in danger. Stalling out a little bit. And this is actually how I know that I'm not a true partisan, because when I heard this, I wasn't like, I'm not rooting against this. Like, I actually like felt my stomach sort of turn when I was like, ah, fuck, they're fucking this up this morning, because I don't know. Like, I don't want North Korea to be holding a nuclear weapon pointed at my family and me all the time. So basically, North Korea is threatening to reconsider peace talks if the U.S. and South Korea don't knock off their military exercises, because we'd already, I guess, done some naval exercises in April, and apparently some other things that are pissing them off. Kim Jong-un doesn't like the fact that Trump is saying the meeting is straight up about denuclearization, like he did at the, you know, hostage release celebration greeting event,
so bizarre,
directed by Michael Bay. and he got out a little bit over his skis. Like, you could tell that he'd already converted these North Korea talks into like campaign talking points.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you know, we're going to get denuclearization. And, you know, he totally forgot that Kim Jong-un was listening, because Kim Jong-un was like, all right, man, let's not spike the football just yet. We're not totally on board with that. And around the same time, John Bolton, our new head of...
who literally looks like a fucking Muppet.
Right. Said basically the worst thing he possibly could have.
Right.
He said...
don't say Libya, don't say Libya.
Right.
Say Libya.
Exactly. He said that we're planning to use the Libya model in conversations with North Korea, which is basically evoking Kim Jong-un's number one fear about the talks, because Libya denuclearized and... you know, not too long after that, their dictator was brutally murdered in the streets by like mobs. So the one reason that he has like raised like the idea that he would never take his nuclear weapons off the table.
Look what happens when you do.
Right. Is look what happened to Libya. And fucking Bolton just straight
just
up
says it. It's crazy too, because Kim Jong-un, I think he took power like the day after Gaddafi was killed.
Yeah.
Right. So like his first day in the job, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And yeah, like everyone was saying, don't say Libya. It's so easy. But again, they are just so thirsty for a fucking win.
So fucking thirsty. Can you wait until the shit is signed? Can you wait until the deal is brokered?
But you know, but I think people were a little naive, and everyone, right, myself included, to sort of just immediately jump to conclusion, because Trump was like, oh, he's really open to do something. He's really going to do something here. And to know that his nuclear arsenal is his only bargaining chip in this thing. So he cannot give that up just like that without getting anything back. So I don't know. I mean, Trump is the deal master. So I guess we'll just wait and see. Oh, wait, he caved to China on the fucking ZTE deal, the telecoms deal, or not the deal, but rather the punishing them. And then maybe, who knows, if Kim Jong-un is like, you know what, let me see what I can get out of this dude now, too.
Yeah.
But this follows a pattern with North Korea of being like, yeah, we're down. And then the talks break down or collapse.
Yeah. Now that I'm totally bummed out about the prospect of them falling apart, I'm realizing I'm becoming very pessimistic about the likeliness that they succeed, because we're basically counting on two like overly sensitive and capricious pathological narcissists not to offend each other,
right?
Like before, in the lead up, or during this meeting. And I don't know. North Korea, it seemed like they were just like, you know, eyes on the prize. They were focused on doing this meeting and accomplishing whatever South Korea had convinced them to accomplish. But now that they've sort of wobbled a little bit, I feel much less optimistic about where this is headed.
I won't lie, I had a little bit of hope.
You
know,
I did too.
When you get two crazies together like that, for all you know, they speak the same language.
Yeah.
You can't be sane trying to talk to a crazy person. But if you're both crazy, y'all get in there and it's like, you know,
right.
Like, oh, we're on the same page.
Right.
I just wish that everything didn't have to. Like, I do appreciate the government being transparent, but it's like with Trump, it's like, one, he's always lying to us. So it's not transparency.
Yeah.
It's like, so just hold off.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
just a second.
He just likes to make it look things much better than they are. But, you know, it's not totally dead in the water, but it's just,
right.
It's just, I think what it is, just a reality check. They're like, yo, hold the fuck up, bro. Don't go being like, hey, they're going to fully denuclearize and we're going to give them nothing back. Because that was their main thing, is that, like, if these talks are just for you to come to Singapore and be like, come up off your nuclear weapons and that's it. They're like, no, we're not doing that. And so I think, you know, obviously he's trying to set himself up, Kim Jong-un, to be like, okay, we are going to have to work on shit.
Yeah.
There will have to be concessions made. For this to be a reasonable negotiation. But, you know, we'll see.
Pompeo is dangling the idea that once they denuclearize, American businesses will pour in and invest in, you know, North Korean infrastructure. And, you know, North Korea, when you look at the globe from space at night, like all the other countries are lit up and North Korea is just completely dark. There's a lot of infrastructure to add to that country and a lot of money to be made. So Pompeo was saying that you're going to see a lot of American businesses if we open up trade with North Korea and if they are willing to denuclearize. So that's a bargaining chip we have. But I mean,
yeah,
it's also a bargaining chip that we had with Iran. And you didn't see a ton of American business pour in there because
McDonald's
it seemed like
Iran after that.
Yeah,
no,
we did.
Definitely not.
It seemed like who knew what was going to happen with the nuclear deal. And now we've shown that we back out of those. So, all right, let's move on to a brief history of Airbnb and racism. So Airbnb had an incident the other day where the neighbor of four people who were renting an Airbnb for Airbnb guests waved to them. An old white woman waved to them. The four people who were renting the Airbnb happened to be three black women and a white woman. And so their neighbor, this elderly lady, waved to them. They didn't wave back. We don't know why, but they didn't wave back. And she immediately called the police and said that there were suspicious people. As they were checking out of their Airbnb, they were greeted by seven police cars. And by the way, when she called the police, she described three suspicious individuals, not four.
Oh, because the white woman?
Yeah.
They were like, three suspicious women and a hostage, I think.
Right.
they got her tied up.
Damn, usually if you have the white person, I mean, being black, you know, when you have a white person.
You go tell the white person to do the white people shit.
Exactly.
Go over there and talk to that white lady.
Right. Or usually that helps make you seem less suspicious.
But the white lady probably didn't wave either. And then she was like, a white lady didn't wave at me?
Oh, she must be in distress.
Right. That was a symbol.
Which is usually like, because I remember as a kid, like in retrospect, when I think about the wild shit I did, when I was with white kids and did it, no problems. Never. Like when there were police, anything involved. And you realize, you'd think that in this situation, that this person, I don't know, this just could be my weird hindsight of my life, but that the old lady would be like, oh, well, there's a white woman maybe co-signing for these people, so I can suspend my
the
racism.
The ratio was off.
Yeah,
if
the ratio,
it had been
yeah.
three white women and one black person, she would have been like, oh, the cleaning lady.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
They're
showing her what Rialto has to offer.
Now, the homeowner came back, the person whose Airbnb it was, came back and blamed them for not waving to the woman.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now, we don't know why they didn't wave back. Maybe they didn't see her. I know
they don't owe that white lady a wave.
Yeah.
There's also that. And also, it's just worth noting that this wave from a white woman might not have been as friendly and neighborly as she might have perceived it to be. Like, she...
Yeah.
She was testing them to see if they were like the good kind or the bad kind.
And
so
by wave, she looked through her curtains.
She looked through her curtains and called the police. She didn't wave.
Yeah.
She looked through curtains and dialed 911.
Oh, lying ass. Because we know that when white people call the cops on black people, one, they don't wave. They lying.
Yeah.
Two, they done already added several weapons to your person.
Right, they were like,
we just saw a man in a hoodie. He had a knife between his teeth and two guns in his
hand.
And
an eye patch.
And he was
and
walking.
Musket.
And he was walking into the Waffle House. Right. Like, what?
I don't understand, like, what do, and this is a serious question, is there a sign that us as people of color can give to white people to let you know, are we looked upon that everybody is a criminal and thug? Can I do something like, hi,
no.
I'm a fucking human being. Or I don't assume all people of any race are could be perpetrators of violence or crime or whatever.
In my theory, the white people have sent out a new blotter. They sent out a new flyer, and they were like, we got a new form of oppression.
Right.
Call the police on black
mm-hmm.
people
Hell
for
yeah.
being asleep at their dorms in college, for walking down the street. You know what I mean? Chances are they'll get murdered. It happens.
Right. One,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you go for a jog, next thing you know, you got 12 warning shots in your back because you're holding your cell phone
right.
in your yard. Like, it. I mean, there's really nothing that we can do because the police are here to police and control people of color and to make sure that we don't get too much.
Yeah.
You know, they're here to murder us. And so white people calling the cops, like, please be aware out there. Like, when you call the cops on someone who's suspicious, they better be suspicious. If you just feel uncomfortable,
yeah,
that's not the same. You're putting someone's
right.
life at risk, and you are knowingly not even just complicit, you're involved in that person's murder.
Well, it's like yeah, I was, you know, it's like showing your freedom papers or some shit. They're like,
that's what
here?
It is.
You a runaway?
But it's okay because black people, we sent out a newsletter too, and we're going to start calling the cops on y'all from burner phones. Like, hi.
This woman is at Popeyes.
There's a woman out here kicking a dog.
Yeah.
She's kicking the dog and she's throwing away avocado at the same time. Get out here immediately.
Now, I do wonder if it's happening more now or if we're just noticing it more now as there are, you know,
noticing
like
it.
More,
I think we're just noticing
more
it.
Social media, mm-hmm. more places that people can report it. But it also, I could see it being the fact that as we get more divided as a country, there are just more, you know, white people who only encounter people of color on Fox News when they're being
right.
when crimes are being reported, and so maybe they're just more scared white people out
I'm
there.
I'm here to tell you, white people, I'm not here to harm you in any way.
Well, why are y'all scared of us when y'all murdering us? Like,
yeah.
this is a fun-ass narrative y'all set up of us being scary, yet every time I turn around, it's y'all killing us.
Because
y'all scared. Can I be scared, then?
Yeah.
Can I be scared? I told y'all I'm going to be scared of every time I walk past a Whole Foods, I shudder.
Yeah. Right. Or like even as a man, like, you know, I have to like, you have to come off non-threatening sometimes.
Oh, well,
really
you need
fucking
to keep doing
smile.
That.
You know, like really smile at people.
Yeah.
Like, hi, man. How you doing?
Because women are
Hello.
Afraid of men too.
Yeah.
Like that's
Well, yeah, but even
the
like
board.
In a racial context
yeah, that's
too,
true.
Like you have
that's
to,
very much
the
true.
Idea of this violent black man or whatever
mm-hmm.
exists. So the only way you can disarm that without verbally addressing it is to just appear like, oh, I'm a jovial person. I'm
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know.
I was going to jokingly suggest that if you get an Airbnb, you have to like go door to door and be like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
We are renting the Airbnb. But also like people
you
will.
Shot.
Yeah, you'll get shot. I was just going to say that's happened.
12-gauge slug through the door.
Yeah. And this is actually, so Airbnb has had some problematic policies in the past or
mm-hmm.
problematic instances where people would not rent to, you know.
People of color.
No.
That's why that one white lady was in the group.
She
had her face on the
exactly.
page.
And I was telling Jack, with my girlfriend, who is white, I will have her book the Airbnb because there have been times when I've done it and it's like, oh, sorry, like the booking had to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes later, she does it and they're like, you're all good.
Oh, I book places where the owner is not on the property and I have a white person name, Lacey Mosley.
Yeah.
So I leave my name up and then I just go to stock photos and give me, you know, a nice happy white bitch eating a salad.
Mm-hmm.
That's my profile photo.
Oh, yeah, that's what I have to do is racially catfish people now.
Yes.
Through Airbnb.
Yeah. There's also an Asian woman who rented an Airbnb, drove 4 hours. To Big Bear. She was going to go skiing with her friends. And when she got to the door, the woman turned her away and responded like in text message, I wouldn't rent to you if you were the last person on earth. One word says it all, Asian. So
you got to make sure that they're not home.
Right. Right. yeah. There you go.
I don't even get it, yo. Wow.
But so Airbnb has like tried to address this by, created like a deal with the NAACP where the NAACP would get a 20% commission on every black host they recruited for the Airbnb site.
So it's a pyramid scam now?
Yeah, basically.
And they're trying to blackwash with the NAACP, basically?
Essentially.
I think it's probably the best theory, because you're not going to get people to, Airbnb is different because you can't get people to open up their homes. It's not a public business. So if people right. want to be, look, this is my one place where I'm like, if you want to be racist in your house, get your racism on, turn up, do what you know, whatever that means for you. But outside of your home, you can't act that way.
Right.
So if I think getting more people of color to rent their places out is probably the only viable solution
right.
because truth be told, we're not going to change the hearts and minds of these people who have decidedly chose to be fucked up.
Yeah, right. or like, yeah, just decide that every person of color is a threat to them.
Yeah. yeah.
And this is one of the last just openly racist industries in America, not like covertly, but you know, real
yeah.
estate is basically still openly racist,
oh,
ruled
yeah.
by redlining, like, you know.
Try and get a fucking home loan.
Yeah, try and get a home loan in a white neighborhood.
I mean, their instant booking thing did kind of help solve some of the biases that a host might have, because it's just sort of like, well, this is the person that has the money and can be there. So, you know, you can't look at them or vet them to decide whether or not you can host them or not.
But you can't shut that door when they get there.
Yeah, but it's just... it is what it is. And this is part of the long continuing trend of doing anything while black.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like so many times I hear white people, even well-meaning white people, like, well, you guys bring up race so much and it's that's also the problem. And it's like, no, I have to think about blackness is an insecurity that I had to realize I had so that I could control it. Because
right.
I would show up places and be like, oh, do they even know I'm black
right.
when I come?
Yeah, exactly.
I get there like, no one told y'all that I was
black.
Or a
job interview. Like,
yeah.
That you come out and they're sitting there looking around and you're the only person. They're like, oh, Miles? And you're like, oh,
right.
yeah, that's me. They're like, oh, you sounded different on the phone.
Oh, with a name like Lacey?
Yeah.
I used to like babysit in my neighborhood, and it's a very white neighborhood, and people have money. But I used to just babysit because I just, you know, wanted to. And I would like leave these little door tags on people's doors, and then they would call me and be like, hi, Lacey. And I'd be like, hi, oh, you want to babysit your kids? Yeah, man, for sure. And then I get there, I'm like, hey, where your key is at? I hope y'all got some food in the fridge.
Yeah.
And they always be like, oh my God, you're Lacey?
Yeah. The trend continues. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because even just there was like someone like yesterday, a guy in I think Memphis or something, he was like a real estate investor and was looking at a home to like just do an inspection to flip it. Woman called the cops on him.
They called the police on a black police officer who
right.
was looking for shell casings outside of like a crime scene. Like, there's a black man out here in police clothes. Y'all need
yeah.
to come
like,
get
like you
him.
Mean a police officer?
Right.
I don't know. It could be a costume.
We don't know.
There's a
Halloween is soon.
Police
it's April 14th.
Jesus. So this is also part of a trend, a wider trend of companies that started just as like some half-assed fun part-time thing that turned into like giant behemoths. Because so Airbnb started 10 years ago as two guys renting out an air mattress in their apartment. Basically, they noticed
what?
That all these hotels were getting bought up
uh-huh.
like during conventions. I think it was in San Francisco. And so they started renting out their air mattresses and called it Air Bed and Breakfast. And people were just like that desperately in need of housing. And
first,
then somehow that evolved into them being Airbnb.
I'm dealing with finding out the origin of the name right now. Like when people found out about Migos being short for amigos,
right?
I was like, why air? What the fuck?
You just
I know.
Blew
I
my
said
mind,
an
Jack.
Air mattress. Because San Francisco real estate is so fucked up, someone will
and
probably
some
take you up on that.
And some dude's house.
Yeah.
So this not even like at a lady house. Like, it's like, come on, yeah, no, you can rent out
hey,
our air mattress.
We got a sick arrow bed. You can
right.
fuck, you can fuck
it's
on.
It's almost like a joke.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it turns into this like world-changing
right.
game changer. And yeah, wow.
What nasty shit can we rent out and make a fortune from?
Right.
I know.
But it's people just... you know, stumbling backwards into multi-billion dollar behemoths. And
wow.
So Uber, similarly, was started by a guy who's just like the all-time biggest asshole. Apparently, when Uber first started taking out, he took to calling it Boober because of how much it gets me laid, bro.
What?
Travis Kalanick.
Wait. Boober?
Boober, because
that's
because
sex.
Boobs and sex, you
get
know,
it?
Guy stuff, right?
Yeah. All right, Travis.
Yeah.
All right, Travy.
And it grew like out of this crazy misogynistic frat bro, tech bro, into a crazy abusive and misogynistic company with just a horrible culture. And so now they're trying to reel that in. And the new CEO has, this is being treated like they are, you know, making the world's biggest concession. They have stopped forcing people to go into private arbitration when they are sexually assaulted or sexually harassed by an Uber driver.
It's happened so many
wow.
times.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And the reason that you don't hear more about it is because when you sign up for Uber, you sign away your right to
go to court?
To go to court.
Yeah.
You solve everything with them in private arbitration, and, you know, private arbitration means that it's not going to be publicized.
Yeah, and also, like, not a fair way to
no,
solve something.
No, because they
like
can
that.
Bully you. Yeah.
Right. So...
Isn't
you know
that like how Congress handles their assault cases too? Like a similar version of just sort of like, okay, let's take it out of the
Congress
court.
Is even
it's
worse
just like,
because
yeah, it's like
you
sit
have
down
to,
with your accuser, the assaulter.
You have to go to work for 6 months and like do in Congress, if you accuse somebody of sexual harassment or even assault, you have to like go to mediation with them for 6 months
which
while you guys like
sense.
Try to work it out.
Yeah, which is basically just be like, oh, well, we'll make it so uncomfortable for the person that's
that
accusing
them
that they
yeah.
just don't want
to
fuck with this process. But
yeah.
I think they're trying to amend that if maybe they have already.
They're working on it, Kirsten Gillibrand is. But as for Uber, I don't know. You know your company's made some mistakes. If your new message is, if you get raped using our product, you can have your day in court. We're changing our ways. Like
not like it used to be.
Right, exactly. Like,
Uber. What can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, because they're fucking up the taxi industry in certain places too, or like, you know.
Nah, I ain't mad about that.
Well,
I'm
look,
petty.
Yeah, of course.
I lived in New York City and ain't no
Uber
ever hit
yeah,
me with their car.
Or
okay?
driving by you when you're like, a cab.
Oh, yeah, especially being black. I'm like, yeah. at least when I pull up, I can get in. I've had cars, taxis clip me. I've
have you been hit by
hit
a taxi?
Me.
What?
I know so many people who have been hit by taxis.
Yes, it's a thing.
I've had a door taken off by a taxi, like as I was getting out of another taxi. It wasn't like my car.
Wait, the actual. I always think
the
about
door
shit like that.
Was
you
taken off
it
like in a movie. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you were like, ah!
Yeah.
Oh shit!
It's crazy. I know somebody who's died from getting hit by a taxi. Daniel O'Brien from Crack.
Died.
Daniel, no.
Oh.
He got like, but he got hit really bad to the point that he came back to work limping.
What?
Yeah.
D.O.B. Like, was hit by a taxi cab in New York
by
City.
By a taxi cab. And the only thing that saved him is like he was so surprised that he jumped up in the air. And that's apparently like exactly what you're supposed to do if you're about to be hit by a car.
Oh, rather than being planted.
Right.
For, like,
really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So I don't know, man.
So clumsy. Yeah. I got no shit
you,
like
you have a body cam on you so you can get that scam though, too.
But yeah, like I think I would feel worse for the taxi industry if they hadn't been such trash for so
sure.
long.
Right. 100%.
Like...
It's more like in other countries too. Like
oh,
I remember
yeah,
like
that's true.
In Paris, woo! They were fucking ready to like beat the shit out of Uber drivers.
Yeah,
like,
no, they were dropping bricks on Ubers and shit
yeah.
from overpasses.
Damn.
It was no fucking joke.
It's a
man.
Serious game.
Yeah, they do not fuck around when it comes to unionizing and organizing
right.
around
and that's
labor
the thing.
Causes.
Uber won't even
in
let
France.
Their drivers unionize. You know what I mean? So
no.
like, it's just like. You know, they can, not to mention that the drivers are treated shitty too. Like it's just, it's hard to find a good thing about it
yeah.
in term aside from the convenience of being able to summon a vehicle to get from point A to point B.
There was a heartbreaking story about a cab driver who invested. Basically, you invest in these medallions, these taxi
right.
medallions, and like they used to cost $1.5 million when this dude bought them, and like he was paying it off,
right.
and then Uber came in, and now they're worth less than $100,000. And so like there's this huge rash of suicides among cab drivers
mm-hmm.
who like did this because they just like lost all of their savings from Uber.
My God.
So yeah, it's Uber's fucked up in many ways. Granted, so are a lot of cab drivers. So. But yeah, so I mean, the one thing you can say is this is a start for Uber. Like, they did look at the, they were like, okay, what is the single most fucked up thing about our company? And then they actually addressed it and like openly addressed it.
You know, this
is like some shit that Facebook might fix in their user terms of service and then like just, you know, quietly make it go away. But Uber is like, all right, so we're a really fucked up company. We're trying to fix stuff. So here's the thing,
honestly,
we're going to be doing differently.
Those are the best apologies, though, too.
Right.
You know, when you can come out and be like, hey, we've been fucking up.
Right.
And we are going to do something about it. Because most places, especially in this country, or most people, too, in the public eye, will, you know, give half-assed apologies or whatever and shit like that. So
I feel like those we've been fucking up moments always come on the heels of somebody about to out your ass, though. Because
right.
I feel
Uber
would have kept it real quiet. Somebody was about to blow that whistle.
Right, right. Even Facebook, like, they're not out here. I mean, although they are trying to run new ads, they're like, we're getting back to, like, what Facebook was about.
Yeah, they're running those ads all over.
Stalking your exes.
They're running those ads all over the NBA playoffs being like, remember when Facebook was a good
not
thing.
Fucked up. Yeah. I'm like
checking out your ex's girlfriend.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to steal your info no more.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And yeah, we just blew by that Migos thing, but I did not know Migos was short for Amigos until the Donald Glover sketch on SNL. Where they called them friendos. I was like, oh, right.
I thought that was a reference to No Country for Old Men. And Javier Bardem was like, hey, friendo.
Therapy.
Hello, friendo.
Therapy. Teeth.
I love teeth. That was my favorite ad lib.
But apparently it was trending yesterday because Drake's new tour is Drake and the Three Amigos. So now we're going to get on to something that is currently blowing the minds of everybody in our office.
And the internet.
It is the Laurel or Yanni debate. So let's just hear it. Let's just get right into it. Let's hear this piece of audio.
And everyone tell us, or don't tell us, because we can't talk, dude. This is a one-way medium. But hearing Laurel or Yanni?
Laurel.
Okay, now it's
Laurel.
Laurel again.
Mm-hmm. Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay, what do you hear, Lacey?
What do I hear?
Laurel or Yanni?
Oh, y'all don't hear that little lady in the back like, help. No, y'all don't hear that?
We have established that Lacey has
insane
super
hearing.
Like, we were playing this high-pitched thing in our old studio that only people who are like under a certain age are supposed to be able to hear because their ears haven't just been completely fucked yet. And Lacey was the only person who was able to hear it.
You had like the full frequency range of like
I protect these little drums.
Yeah.
Right. So as the
wait,
person
for real
who
though.
Oh yeah, but for
real though.
What I really
before you flex on people with your hearing.
I heard Laurel.
You heard Laurel, right?
Yeah.
I hear Laurel.
I heard Laurel all day yesterday. I heard Laurel when we just listened to it there. But all morning this morning, I heard a version of it that sounded like Yanni and started hearing Yanni, and I hadn't been able to hear Laurel again until just then. So
no, you didn't hear that. I was watching a rerun of Jersey Shore where Snooki was like, Yanni.
Right. Yeah. It was like, but this is basically when that dress thing happened where like some people saw it as black and blue and some people saw it as white and gold. What did you see?
So see, now I got to keep listening to this like a sociopath or something, because when I saw the blue dress, I first saw it as a blue dress. And then I started looking at that shit just forever. And then it was white to me. And I could go back and forth. So now I need to listen to this until it's Yanni because I need to be enlightened.
Right. So open your third eye, Mom.
Yeah, so I don't.
Oh, it sounds like Yanni.
Laurel. Laurel.
Nah, for a second. Laurel, for a second, I heard Yanni.
Laurel.
No, did you change that, Nick?
What you doing, Nick?
No,
what
because
you doing in there, Nick?
The first time you played it, it sounded like Yanni.
Yeah.
I think what happened is because Lacey was saying something, it
distorted
sort of disrupted my hearing for a second that I hear it. So aren't they saying that it's a combination of like Yanni is in there too, but it's at a higher frequency or something?
But you can't hear them both at the same time. And when you're hearing one, you like can't hear the other. It's crazy because when I was hearing Yanni earlier, I couldn't hear Laurel at all. And
you could only hear Yanni.
I could only hear Yanni. And now I can only hear Laurel.
So it's like an auditory illusion.
Kind yeah,
like those ones where it's like where you see like those like on a electric sign where it looks like something's spinning and you can't tell which direction it's spinning in.
Have we been in the room with people who are hearing different things but they're in the same room?
Yes, yesterday.
Just,
Caitlin Durante and Jamie Loftus were in here, and Caitlin Durante heard Yanni.
Yeah.
And Jamie Loftus heard Laurel.
And okay. We were all hearing Laurel. And then just now, in Nick's booth, I was hearing Yanni, and everybody else was hearing Laurel. So,
oh, okay, because I was about to say, maybe they're just fucking with us and just like playing one or the other.
It's crazy. So when the dress thing happened, there were like these articles saying it was all about how our visual cortex interacts with the light reflecting off surfaces in our visual frame. There was like this Wire article where they were saying our visual system is supposed to throw away information, but I've studied individual differences in color vision for 30 years. And I just never really bought that it was like a color-specific thing, and now I think I'm vindicated. I think this colors. Is proof that it's not just colors. It's basically colors. How colors. Our senses interact with our brain.
Mm. Okay.
There's this book, Incognito, by David Eagleman, that is one of my favorite nonfiction books that everybody should read. But he talks about how there are way more nerves traveling from our brain to our eyes in that direction than from our eyes to our brain. So in other words, we see with our eyes, but we also, to a large degree, see with our memory. Like our memory fills in a lot of our visual field with just what it knows is there based on what you've seen
just
in the past.
And things,
yeah,
right.
And context. So if that's true, and if that applies to all of our, you know, sensory perception organs, then, you know, you're bringing so much of your memory and your personal experience to everything you hear that it is going to be totally different to different people, basically. And I think, like, I don't know, think about how completely different it sounds when you hear a song for the first time to, like, when you hear it for the seventh time and you absolutely love it to when you hear it for the 100th time and you're just like, ugh, I'm so tired of this song. It's like, right. It sounds like a different song. And I don't know. I feel like that's partially what's happening with how this is hitting our brains.
I don't think I'm ever going to hear Yanni. I think if I do, I'm going to have to like bring the audio tracking the Logic and start like fucking with the speed of it or something. Because that's what, like, what's crazy is that this thing has, even like Mother Jones is writing about it and shit. And like they have like, they were linking to tweets where someone was pitching it up and down in different directions and different quantities or whatever. And they're saying like you can hear Yanni at certain levels. But honestly, I'm Team Laurel. So
I've been both, man. I've been to the other side.
Oh, shit.
I've seen it.
I just want to get
from
my...
the other side.
That's why I want to go. I want to make sure my chakras are aligned. I got to hear them both.
Yeah. You do some EFT before. Make sure all your meridians is moving right.
Yeah. So super producer Nick Stump was just asking if there is like a definitive answer for what is actually being said in the same way that once you saw the dress.
You knew it was
like,
blue.
Yeah, it was blue and black, like we always said, and all those other people were crazy.
There is only one answer. It is Laurel.
Oh, okay.
Then I'm just saying that because my ego can't handle anything else.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess super producer Nick Stumpf just ruined it for us and found out that it's from vocabulary.com. When you type in the word Laurel and have it speech it back to you, the text speech, it says Laurel. And obviously, there's not going to be no Yanni because that's a name. Of one of the greatest vocalists of our time.
Mm-hmm. I don't buy it.
All right. Well, we don't have to. You know what I mean? Fake news. Fake news.
No, it definitely sounds just like Laurel to me now. But I don't know. For some reason, when I was hearing it earlier, out of speakers, try it from different speakers, too.
Speakers, distances.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of ways. Mm. Quadraphonic surround sound, however you got to do it.
All right. And finally, Lacey, you said that there is a meaning behind your AKA, the Paul Gonzalez thing.
This is not a scam.
No, Paul Gonzalez is a scammer. And maybe this will help people in the Southern California area. But this is a man who's on dating apps who is going on first dates with women and then
the skipping
out
dude?
A bill. Yeah.
The Dine and Dash dater? That's Paul Gonzalez?
Yes. Oh, okay. Paul Gonzalez is the Dine and Dash dater. He is going out here and taking women on first dates, and then he is leaving before the check comes.
It's usually the thing is, they show up, he's like, oh, I came here early and I already but I'm down to eat again. And so the waiter will come.
Mad
they'll order the thing, and then he'll bone out with leaving her like with the fucking check while he's had a whole steak dinner.
And wow. It's the first date, so you don't know this person, right. And he's meeting these women on apps.
Yeah.
And like,
go on Desus and Mero's YouTube channel because they've talked about it a couple of times. It's hilarious because like one of the recent times, one of the managers of the restaurant recognized him as the diner
and then kicked him out and then comped this woman's meal because he was like, "It's okay, queen." Like,
yeah, I'm sorry about him.
But listen, that's a dope scam. I don't want to encourage men to do that because look, when women go on dates, like you do need to pick that check up, and then if you want to do half, that's cool, but you're never gonna see me again. But no, we're not going half on the first date. I'm a queen. You need to go and pick that up. You can't afford me. And if you date somebody who can't, if you both broke, it's cool because then y'all both broke. But if one of you's not broke and the other one is, then you make the other person broke because then y'all start borrowing
lift
money.
Them up.
Yeah,
all boats
yeah,
rise.
Exactly. And then but you sink a little bit because you was higher. But all I'm saying is like that's a great scam. My man's just out here really dining.
The
and dining
dash dater.
They've made articles about him. Women are pissed.
Yeah, what's bullshit?
If you Google him, you can see his face. He's like moderately attractive.
He looks. I think he lives with his mom too, or something. Or he's like running. He like lived around the corner with his mom. There's many dimensions to it.
He'd be like, "Hey, queen, let's go out to
thick eyebrows.
Mastro Steakhouse tonight." But think about it. If you a woman and you probably, I mean, if you live in LA, shit, we'd be out here just rolling the dice with dudes. You'd be like, "Well, why not, Paul? I mean, shit."
Right. He's like, "Oh, I want to meet you at Crustacean."
Right. Boom, he's like, "I want to meet you at Mastro's, queen." Yeah, you'd be like, exactly. "Okay."
Oh, you like the sides there?
His top line: looking to stop looking.
Oh shit! That's a scam.
Kind of guy. You could get serious with
disarming you like that. Yeah. Looking to stop looking.
Yo, that's good
for my wallet. Cause that's what my.
I
forgot my wallet. My favorite first. Well, you know,
you gonna be looking for me.
I've done that before. You know, on a date, you forgot your wallet. You go.
Oh, you lost your. You forgot your wallet.
You go, oh shit!
Yep.
Can't believe I forgot my wallet.
Well, you can't say oh shit like that, Miles. You said oh shit before you even started patting your pockets. Yeah, well, I can see you. That's not good.
The devil knows their own. Lacey.
You have done that, like on purpose.
Hey, why am I on trial?
Because you just said you did it.
I don't know. Look, it's a comedy show. That's a bit.
That's not a bit, guys. Miles luckily
Miles
has a girlfriend.
Has some good scams. You got the.
Hey, people don't. Okay, don't put me out there like that. You know, people think
I'm
a good guy.
About the wild where you go, hey, what is that?
I'm also mad at. Paul, man, that's my scam.
Right.
Well, for that was supposed to be for women. I mean, look, I guess some people are out there going Dutch. That's good for y'all.
No, women need to start doing that.
Hell
now.
No.
Just go.
Absolutely
fuck.
Not.
No, just scam them.
I showed up to the day. You don't have to wear makeup. You know how much makeup costs? Okay.
I know how much it costs.
I paid already.
I know a lot of dudes who feel like they have girls that they're seeing on these apps who are just using them for free meals. Mm-hmm. Like.
For
that's
sure.
Like a,
that was someone I dated someone in college
problem.
Like that. I dated this volleyball player. Oh my God. I was like, I loved her. And she would only hit me up to eat.
Yeah.
It was always, she would be like, oh, what's up? I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, you want a cake? She's like, yeah, I'm hungry. You hungry?
What?
And I'm like, yeah. And then we're always eating. And then I remember one time I was like, I brought it up. I was like, why do we always eat? Like when we're doing this, she got so defensive.
Really?
And I was like, that's when I realized.
I don't
like,
know. Why
damn.
Do you always eat?
Yeah. And I was like,
well, guys, if you want to know the chicks into you, like, I don't know, take the bitch to the park. Go walk on the beach. That's cute. I'm not going to the beach with you on the first day. You're not drowning me. But
she got
can,
her meals.
We can go to a park during the daytime
she
if I like
so
you.
So much Baja Fresh off of me. My
damn.
God.
The Baja, that's not bad. That's like $15.
Well, when you're in college, you work at the Coach store, and you're slinging bags on the side to get a Brookstone sound machine. You don't have back in at that point.
Listen, going to the steakhouse.
I've sat through some pretty rough dates because I was like, oh, food, and then I've gone back out with them again.
Right.
I was like, you know what? I don't like you, but I am hungry.
He's like, the thing you got to understand, Lacey, about InfoWars is Alex Jones does have a point to
literally.
A certain extent. You're like, oh,
I dated.
Shit.
I went out with a guy who literally asked me if I knew what an app was because he was trying to tell me what he did because he was retired. He was like, oh, I'm developing
retired?
An app. And I had a blank stare like, okay, and you develop an app for what? Like, you sound like you're lying.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, do you not know what an app is? Oh, no, this motherfucker did. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you not
do you
know what
an
app is?
Do you have a mobile device?
And then after that, I was just petty. He tried to tell me Iowa wasn't a swing state. I said, bitch, what are the Iowa caucuses?
Right.
What is that? What is it? He told me he into politics. I was like, oh, you just thought I was stupid.
Right.
I'm cute,
do you know
but
what
I'm
app
not
is?
Dumb.
Do you know what a blue dog Democrat is?
Listen, as soon as he closed the tab, I left.
There you go.
That sounds trifling. That sounds so trifling. I'm not trifling, guys. I'm looking for love out
She's
there, right,
for,
guys?
You're looking to stop looking.
I'm looking to
And if people are looking to find you, where can they find you? Lacey?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Same handle. We got a brand going over here. Diva Lacey. That's D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I. You can also see me at UCB on my mod team Mama and on my hero team Leroy. And there's a few other places I can't tell you where you'll be able to see me yet.
Oh,
but
wow.
Next time.
I'm very excited for you. I'm genuinely, yeah, that's
exciting times.
And it's not like as soon as these mics go off, I'm going to press you to tell me. But anyway, but
Miles.
Congratulations. Shout out to you. Yes, me. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information in the episode that we talked about today. And we also link off to the song we ride out on. Yeah. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, well, because we're talking about North Korea and I'm trying to find world peace, I wanted to play a track by the group Warpaint. Lovely band. They're LA based. Ladies, my goodness. This song is called Set Your Arms Down, because that's what all we're trying to do. Set our arms down. Just find peace. We don't need to be aiming things at each other. We don't need to be aiming the mobile phones at each other to call 911, because I'm just trying to return something at Target. Okay? Anyway, please, love each other, set your arms down, and, you know, give somebody a hug today.
But ask them first, guys.
Yeah.
Fellas, ask them first. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.